This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
All right, it's amazing to be with you guys. I see some familiar faces here. I've been in Wellington now in November. It will be 18 years. And I've been around. I've seen some of you at the schools, at some of the things in Pick and Pay. And so now we see one another here today. My name is, as I said, Mo Rus. If you can't pronounce that, Mo Rus. That's my corny joke before I introduce myself. It's not Mo Ritz. Okay, it's Mo Rus. But if you struggle with that, you can just call me Mo. That's the easy one. And some interesting facts about me. As Peter said, before I actually started preaching, I was a singer, a worship leader. And before that, I was a worshiper. I'm still a worshiper, but if I started falling over my words, it's probably either the Afrikaans or I like singing better. So I'll go into a song and then you'll know. But I don't think it will happen this morning. I love just worshiping God and honoring Him, and I'm privileged to be with you guys this morning. And we've got two children, Joel David, he's 10 years old, and Bethany is 7, and they keep us busy. So enjoy your kids' church. Have fun. They're actually very, very, very sweet if they're amongst new people. So, but when they're home, woo, they keep us busy. All right. So, that's me. I like eating meat. If you would give me a choice between veggies and meat, I would choose the steak. So I like eating meat also. And that's any other interesting facts about myself. I mean, the first time you hear somebody speak is like, who is this guy? What is he about? I also go to bed at night and I sleep, I brush my teeth, all those things. Normal things, yeah. So I'm just a normal guy. So I'm part of the guys that's going around with the pulpit change, as you heard from Josh Jane. And so the theme for B2G this year is hope. So probably as you have heard last week, I heard somebody started preaching here on hope. And we're doing this acronym of hope, which H is just the general message of hope. And then the O is today, which I'm going to speak about. And I'm going to not give one word for the O today of hope. I'm going to speak about obedience and overcoming. And that the picture of that that comes with hope. And as I want to start this morning, why is it so important for us to have hope? Because we are hope bearers in this world. And that's, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And just imagine a world of people walking around with sick hearts. It's just going to be a sad place. And one of my favorite stories, and I want to start with that today, is a story. And it's great having the Germans here today because it's about Germans. It's about a group of people called the Moravians. Have you heard of them? These guys were amazing. They started a prayer meeting that lasted 100 years. I don't know if any one of you have tried that before, but that's amazing. And just something of just praying and a heart to pray and a heart for the nations. These guys had this slogan, "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." And they would sell themselves as slaves and to enable to go and share the gospel wherever they go. And this story, it's actually so amazing. So they're a bunch of, you don't know who they are, but they impacted one of the greatest men, that evangelist that walked this, that ministered into America. And I want to read this story to you. In 1735, John and Charles Wesley were on their way to America as Anglican missionaries. They're on their way to be missionaries. They're going to do the thing for God. And a group of Moravian immigrants from Germany were also on the ship. So they were on the ship. A terrible storm developed at sea, and they were in danger of being shipwrecked. The Moravians were in the midst of a worship service and praising God with much intensity. Wesley was terrified. Wesley recounts this event in his diary. In the midst of the psalm where their service began, the sea broke over, split the main sail in pieces, covered the ship and poured in between the decks. And it was as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. I asked one of them afterwards, "Were you not afraid?" And he said, "I thank God, no." I asked, "But were not your women and your children afraid?" And he replied midly, "No, our women and our children are not afraid to die." The storm was boisterous, but the Moravians kept praising God. Finally, the storm subsided. And the story goes on that Charles Wesley wrote many of the hymns that we still see in our hymn books. And John just reached so many people for Jesus. But he actually got saved. He was on a missionary journey. But after this encounter with the Moravians, his life was completely changed forever. Here's a people in the midst of a storm. They're supposed to be afraid. I mean, the English were shouting. They were afraid. But John called them the Germans. He said, these Germans, they just kept praising God. There was something different. They had a hope that was different than what they saw. And this impacted their lives so amazingly. Just imagine the hope that we can be to a world that is hopeless. And you know what for me, I want to read a scripture. And this is the first one, the first slide. I have a clicker, but I don't think it's going to work. So if you can just do 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." I love that. We are born again to a living hope. Not just hope. It's hope that is alive. Hope that rose from the dead. Hope that is not some kind of thing that we just talk about. Some expectation of escaping our trouble. It is a hope. It's a person. He's alive. And through the resurrection, we have this living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And two, we have a hope to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for us. This hope is amazing. I can imagine these Moravians had this in us. This is like, we are not afraid to die. We'll just pass on. If this ship goes under, we just be with Jesus in glory. And that just gave them such a great hope. They were not afraid to lose their lives. But you know what? For us, sometimes that hope, It's like it encourages our heart, like the Moravians or so. But how do we bring that into the now? How do we have hope now when we know a family member that has cancer? How do we find hope when our finances is not working out? How do we find hope when somebody in our family died? Where do we find hope? And how do we keep keeping on? And that's the title of my message. How do we keep on? Because if we do this, we'll be bearers of hope in this town and in this valley. And as I try to choose only a few things, because I mean, I have limited time. So this morning, I'm going to highlight three aspects of hope. And I'm going to use the story of a storm that Paul was in. And out of that, I'm going to just mention three things. Faith, humility, and obedience. And you will find and you will hear through that there will be an overcoming. And as we overcome, we will be bearers of hope in this morning. And maybe this morning you sit here and you don't have hope. And I trust that this morning that hope will come to your heart. Yes, one day we'll pass over, we'll be with Jesus. But I trust that even this morning that you will find hope in the one that is alive, the living hope. All right. So, in Acts 27, that's the next one, you can go to that. Paul is on his way to Rome on a ship to appear before Caesar. And he's on the ship, and at a point he tells these guys, "Hey guys, this ship is going to end up in a shipwreck. So I guess I would suggest that we don't go." And they didn't want to listen to him. So they got on the ship, and there they go. And then verse 14, the next one, if you can click. It says, "Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught in the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to where it was driving along. Who of you have experienced that? It's like the pressure and the resistance is so strong, but you cannot but just give way. But hope is the thing that will anchor us when that storms hit us. And here Paul is like, he's on the ship. He's actually in the storm. It's not his own doing. It is. He told them we shouldn't go. We should stay here in this harbor. And they just didn't listen. So he's on the ship. And then we go to verse 18 and 19. It says, now they're in this storm. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. So they throw stuff around. This storm was hectic. And then to the next slide, verse 20. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Who of you have been at that place? When the bottom of life falls out, there's nothing you can say. It's just like we've give up hope. We don't have hope anymore. And they were at this place of complete giving up. But here comes Paul. He says, hey guys, let's keep keeping on. Let's keep keeping on. We have a hope. And the next few verses, I want to read it to you. I'm going through this quickly because it's a lot of verses, but it's like this. Chapter 27, verse 22. Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. Who of you would like that? When you're in the darkest moment of your life and just like, ring, hello, angel, he's there. And Paul had this experience in the midst of this storm. This angel appeared and he said to him, don't be afraid. So I think Paul was probably afraid. And the angel sort of said, hey, don't be afraid. Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and behold, Paul, I have a bigger plan. You will not go down, and those that are with you will not go down with the ship. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that He will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island. So that, how's that for hope? It's like, you're going to be okay, but you will be run aground on some island or something. And this is the situation. I know we would love the type of storm where Jesus come walking on the water. Hey, Peter, come to me. Yes. And whoop. And Jesus get into the boat. And we would love the storm where Jesus sleeps in our boat and say, be still. And he would speak to the storm. But this storm, it doesn't sort of work out like that. And how do you find hope in those times where you speak to the storm and it's still there? And you have tried to walk over the storm and it's still there. How do you find hope? I want to, my first point is we have to trust God. And in John 16, verse 33, faith, that's take heart, and you can go to the next one. It says, I've said these things that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know what? Jesus is just about to be crucified at this point. And these disciples thought he's going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire. He's going to walk, and Jesus, here we go, on the white horse. We're going to do some war. And it was completely the opposite. And Jesus told him, I'm actually going to, in some time, I'm not going to be with you anymore. And then I'm going to be with you again. And he said to them stuff like, if you abide in me, and I will abide in you. And it's just like things. I said these things to you so that in me, you may have peace. In me. I want to focus on that. In me, that you may have peace. You can take possession of peace in Him. And then the next word, it says, in the world, you will have tribulation. It says, it's coming. There will be tough times. There will be Mount Everest kind of tribulation and tough things that's happening. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, there's two realities in the scripture. One is there's hard things that's going to happen in our lives. I mean, just if you can do this morning, probably something tough has happened to you before or might be waiting tomorrow. I'm not a doom prophet, but it's the reality of life, that life is full of hard things. But Jesus comes and he says, take heart. Have faith in me. I have overcome the world. I am an overcoming Savior. Yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, there's hard things coming. But the other reality is, if you have relationship with me, who is the overcoming one, you will have peace in me. And that is just the amazing thing. It's like, it's actually so simple. When I says like, I need to give this and that, but it's really, if we come to that place where we really, really trust God in our storms, then we can have faith in who He is. So in 1 John 5, verse 4 to 5, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. There is a component of overcoming if we put our trust in God. I mean, if you start trusting yourself, good luck with that. you will disappoint yourself because it's only in Jesus. But the one thing that separates Jesus from any other thing is the fact that he died on a cross, but he rose. He is a living hope. That's central to the message of hope. If we take the risen Christ out of the message of, we lose hope because he is alive. He is the living hope. And I want to read you a quote. The next slide is, it goes like this. It says, when a train goes through a tunnel and gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Corrie ten Boom, those of you have heard her testimony, it's an amazing story of somebody that was in one of the toughest trials in when the Nazis came, the Germans came in to take over the Netherlands. But they, you know, I give the two sides today, the Moravians and the Nazis. Okay, but it's like she stood strong in the storm, some of the toughest times, and she actually forgave people that really harmed her and killed her father and her sister Betsy. But it's really, do we jump off when it gets dark? When we go through a tunnel? Do we throw away the ticket? No, we sit and we trust. That's the first thing of how we can have hope in this moment, in this now. Yes, one day we'll be in heaven where there will be no more sickness. One day we'll be in heaven, we will worship Jesus in glory, where there won't be any offense, any unforgiveness. It will be amazing. But now we need to sit in this train when we go through it, and we need to trust our Savior. We need to trust our living hope. I'm going to the second one, and that's humility. So first one, we have to take heart. And then secondly, I believe it's important for us to have hope in the present as if we can humble ourselves. This is a scripture where it speaks about Jesus in Philippians 2. And it says, verse 7, it speaks about how he emptied himself, how he actually emptied himself. He could have grabbed his God. He could have just say, boom, cross on fire and it burns. And he's God. He was fully God. He's fully man. But he chose to... And being found in the appearance of man, and I love that because it relates to me. I'm a man. Found in the appearance of man, he emptied himself and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. How many times when we are in tough times, we want to fix the problem? We want to fix it ourselves. We want to find a solution and just try to figure it out ourselves. But I've found, and I've learned this on a hard way, and I have to continue to remind myself, keeping on in this kind of this thought, is when Before I came to Wellington, we lived in Richards Bay, Natal. So, I'm not an Italian. I actually came from Mpumalanga, born in Bethel, Mpumalanga. But now we're coming from, my parents moved to Richards Bay, and I'm a Vali. And they call us Kijkdaar. And we're coming to this Richards Bay, this Natal kind of surfer vibe. And I'm no surfer, but I have to get into this. So I started getting a boogie board or a bodyboard, and we started trying to get into the surfing thing. And I realized that if I don't humble myself, the wave keeps on pushing me back. I saw the other guys, they actually do something, a duck dive. They go underneath the wave to actually get to where to the back line, to where the waves are. And so coming there as a Mpumalanga, I was like, and it's like, and that picture, the Lord reminded me of that picture of how we try when there's hard time. We try to do this as straight as possible in our own strength. Try to work out plans, get all these things. But the waves keep pushing us back, keeps pushing us down. And I remember once I went surfing and this big waves, and we want to be brave. And this wave, it does this thing. It goes up and then there's nothing underneath. And you just whoo, and it throws you into the ground, and it's just sand and mud, and it's demakar. That's the best word to describe it. It's just such a mauling that's happening. And I try to reach for the surface. I mean, my breath is out. I'm trying to get out, but this thing is keep on just turning me around. And at a point, this thought came to mind, and it was just this thought, just chill, relax. So what I did is I did this. I just laid on the sand, literally like that, till the wave went over. And then I came up. And the picture for me is there's something of a humility that we need when the waves of life hit. We actually have to get to the stillness in Him where we find peace and humble ourselves to that place and not trust in our own strength. And we know this. We know humility. We know humility is such a key part of us as Christians. And we cannot... We have to humble ourselves, but sometimes we forget and we try to fix stuff. And God is just calling, humble yourself. 1 Peter 5:6, it says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He enables those who humble themselves. So in your hardest trial, He is the one that can enable you in that toughest moment of your life. If you humble yourself. And I found the key in that. It's like if we don't have hope, trust Him. Humble ourselves. And we will find grace in His presence. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore I boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power might rest on me. It's like that moment where you just humble yourself and just realize that, God, when I'm weak, you are strong. And you are an overcoming Savior. And if I humble myself, there's something of an overcoming that you give to me and help me to overcome. And there's grace. And grace, that word, is enabling us to overcome in those hard, tough moments. The third thing that I want to highlight is obedience. And we go back to that scripture. If you can go to the next one, please. Obedience. And yes, next one. Philippians 2:8, it goes again. And being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself, as we said now, and he became obedient to death. There's something of a people that obeys God and hears His voice in tough times. That word obedient actually comes from another word. You can click the next one. Hupakuyo. It means, it's a double barrel word, and it means to hear and come under. And I believe that many times when we are in our toughest times, we don't trust God. We don't humble ourselves, and we try to think out what we need to do. But have you ever been in a tough moment where you just sit and wait for instructions. Lord, how do I need to approach this? Because He knows our steps. He knows how to deal with storms. He is the one. And just so in our toughest moments, if we've humbled ourselves and say, I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm not going to. Many are the ways in the man's heart, but it's the Lord that directs. And it's just something of just, I'm going to listen attentively and come under what He says. That's the thing about obedience. Because if we get that right, it's one man's disobedience that made us all to be sinners. But it's one man's obedience that made us to be righteous. And as he was obedient to face the toughest, darkest moment. I mean, there've been darker moments of worst kind of persecution or deaths that people died at, like than a cross. It's cruel. But you know what made Jesus different is he took also upon him the sins of the world. And there's no greater, tougher, harder, darker moment than that. And he overcame and he was obedient to the point of death on a cross. And that gave us victory. How much more do we want to try to do this? If Jesus could listen to the Father in that and just follow, and for the joy that was set before him, he followed the voice of God in that moment. Why? What makes us different? Why can't we listen to our Father? Why can't we stay in step with Holy Spirit and follow him through those tough moments in our lives? Just want to grab my thoughts here. Let me see what the next one is, sorry. Okay, I want to come back to that part. And I want to just link to obedience. Do you see Paul was in a very tough moment, and then he heard God say, through an angel, don't be afraid. Will you make space in your hopeless situation, when the bottom falls out, to hear what he says, to hear what he speak to you? There are many words out there, but Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. We need to get the words of God that is a lamp. Maybe we can't see there, but we can see the next step. We can see the next step. And as we position to attentively listen and come under, step by step, he's able to lead us through that storm. Galatians 5 verse 25, it's not there, so I'm just going to read it for you. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading in every part of our lives. Let us follow God's voice. And then you might say, Maurice, but I don't know how God's voice sounds like. Trials are some of the best moments of our lives to actually get to know His voice. Because we have no other place to go. We have no Google. Google doesn't tell you how to get out of this storm. It's only the one that is over the storm, the one that has overcome one of the greatest storms that can lead you through that. And sometimes we think, yes, maybe coming through the storm needs to be this and that and that. But can we trust Him that He decides how the other side of the storm looks like? Because if we listen and we're in a storm, say somebody has cancer, and our Father speak, and He says, trust me for healing. Then we pray for healing. Because that's His answer. And He's giving faith to trust for that healing to come through. But if He says, hold on, you hold on. Because one day, there's something, He sees bigger, better view of how, He's got a higher perspective of how we view of things. But as long as we hear and come under what He is speaking. And then, just a funny moment, I like thinking of pictures, but this in Acts 27, verse 43 and 44, as the so what happened now after that kind of thing is they found out there was land, and so they saw this island, and they hit for that island, and then they hit a reef. So the waves started hitting this boat, and the boat is shipwrecked. It's not going anywhere. And at a point, the soldiers want to kill all the prisoners, and the centurion on the ship loved Paul. He didn't want him to happen anything to him, so he said, no. Those of you that can swim, jump in and swim. For those of you that cannot swim, grab a plank and drift this one out. Go to there's something that sometimes some of us deal with situations differently. Some of us can actually swim in that situation. We can jump in the water and we can swim to land. But some of us don't know yet. And the best thing to do is just grab hold of that plank and trust in God and drift this one out. You know, it'd be funny if you have this, welcome to Paul's Cruises. Those of you who can swim, thank you for sailing with us. And those of you who can't swim, thank you for sailing with us. You're going to die. But it's not going to happen. It'd be hopeless if that would be the key, or that would be the outcome of our kind of trouble that we're in. But if we can see that there's always hope, we can have hope in this moment. And then even if we mean we have to hold onto a plank, I don't know how long, but whatever, but we trust him. We keep on listening to him for the next step until we get to the storm. And there are those moments where we will raise the dead. We will pray for the sick. I love praying for the sick, but I have also prayed for people that are sick and they didn't get better. And yes, we can think of how that would work and how that doesn't work. But I won't stop praying for the sick. I won't stop praying when there's a moment. But there's something of that God, I need to hear his voice in that moment. What is he leading us into? And find faith for that next. And even if he says, Richie Morris, grab hold of that plank. You just have to drift this one out. Then we do that gladly, because somehow this will bring him glory. And even if it means drifting that plank to eternity, we'll be with him where there is no more sickness, where there is no death, where there is no offense, where there is no unforgiveness. And we'll worship with him, and we'll be like these Moravians that you just couldn't put them out. They saw such a view of who Jesus is, our overcoming Savior, that they did not give up. They kept keeping on. You couldn't get rid of them because they were like, Jesus is so amazing and he's alive. And we can be hope bearers. And this is where I want to bring this to us. Maybe you're not going through a hard time today. Maybe it will come next week or week after that or a month later or whatever. But God has called us to go through the storms of life to be hope bearers. As we keep keeping on, we can be like these Moravians. That is a light in a storm where we can tell of how amazing he is. And even if things doesn't work out, we can say he's still amazing. He's still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we can encourage people to hold on to a plank. Let me tell you a story. When I have prayed many hours and there was not an immediate breakthrough, but I had to hold on to a plank and the storm subsided. There are stories like that in our lives. And if we share these stories with people around us, God will come and build faith in our lives. And we can be his hope bearers by just keeping on. So when you're in a storm, have faith. Take heart. In relationship with God. You can't do this. You can't have peace without that relationship. Humble yourself. Don't try to figure it out. Depend on him. And then listen and come under. Let him lead you step by step through this. A cheerful heart is good medicine. It's a heart that has hope. Proverbs 22 verse 17, a cheerful heart. That's the YouVersion scripture of the day. I thought it's quite interesting, like having a cheerful heart and just overcoming. It's good medicine for us. So I would like to pray for us now. And I want to first just pray for those that are in a tough situation right now. And you feel like the bottom of your life is just giving way and there's no hope. You're in this storm and it's just tossed to and fro. And I want us to, as brothers and sisters, come alongside and just pray for those that are really struggling at this time. And even just trust the Lord that He will come and encourage and bring faith today. Is there, if the worship team can come to the front, please. So, if everyone can just close their eyes where you are at. If you're going through a tough time at this moment, and it's really, you feel there's no hope, and hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, and you just want to say, Lord, here I am. I'm taking heart today. I'm making a decision to trust you. I've tried all that I can do, and I want to say, Lord, I'm choosing to trust you. Will you maybe just lift up your hand just where you are, and we just want to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass you. I know that's like really, there's some hands going up. So just, it can be like very tough, or it can be just something that you just need God's grace in that moment. Okay. If you can just keep your hands up. If there's somebody next to you that's lifting their hand, can I ask that you maybe just pray with them right now, there where you are? Can you just put your hand on their shoulder and let's just trust the Lord that He will come and just bring hope and minister hope in this moment. There's somebody there also, if somebody can, one of the leaders just go there. Just raise your hand high if we can just pray with you. There in the back is also somebody. And there's also the community leaders, if you guys, cell group players, if you can just move around even and just put your hand on somebody's shoulder and just trust the Lord that He will come and just bring hope right now. There will be a faith imparted right now in Jesus' name. So, Father, we trust you right now as we contend right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, as some might feel that the bottom has fallen out and there's no hope and there's hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Father, I trust you right now that you will come and infuse those hearts with life in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm trusting you right now for faith to come into their hearts in the name of Jesus. That taking heart when all hope is lost, Lord, that in you there will be peace, God. And I trust you for even from this moment on, Lord, that you will come and stir such a relationship where in you there is peace. In Jesus' mighty name, trust you for that, Father. Will you come and bring hope in those hearts, in those situations? Lord, they can be various things, but I pray where there's financial breakthrough that's needed, Lord, will you come and speak and there will be a coming under. Where there's sickness, God, I trust you for your healing. And I trust you, Lord, that you will come in the mighty name of Jesus and that you will minister to each individual right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you that we can come to the one that is alive. You are our living hope. You are our overcoming Savior. So right now, Lord, let hope become alive in each one of these scenarios. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. And then I just want to, I don't know if you may be a visitor here. I don't know if, because I'm also a visitor here today. But I want to just make use of this moment. If you're here today and you realize that I do not have hope because I do not know Jesus. Because the core foundation of our hope is having a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And you see, no one of us is righteous. I even say our righteousness is like filthy rags unto the Lord. It's nothing. And we try to do things in our own strength, but it's only Jesus that saves us. It's only Jesus that He is the living hope. And if you sit here this morning and you do not know Him, if you have not given your life to Jesus, you've been pondering about it, you've been thinking about it, I want to make this opportunity available this morning and say, here I am, Lord. I want to give my life to you. I want to live for you. I have these mistakes, I have these things, but will you come and give grace, enable me to live a life that will glorify you? Can we, I don't want to ask you to close your eyes again, but I just want to honor those, that if there's somebody here that they don't feel exposed. So if you can just close your eyes again. Is there anyone here that want to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I'm tired of living life my own way, and I want to give my life to you today, Jesus. I'm sorry for the sins I've done, and I ask you that you will come and forgive me. Is there anyone today that want to respond to this? Anybody? Okay. There's a hand there. Okay. Anyone else? Is that also a hand there? The back was in worship. There's also somebody there. Can I maybe ask the leaders that you just look around who's lifting their hands now, and we can just pray with them afterwards and just trust the Lord that He will come and meet. There's somebody there at the back, and there's a lady also here. Anyone else before we go on to the... Anyone else? Okay, cool. And then for the rest of us, will you be a hope bearer with me? Will you be one that sees a risen Savior, an overcoming Savior, and live our lives in such a way through the storms that we go, and that we will be able, that they will tell of the Wellingtoners, of the people that stays in Wellington. I mean, they just kept on praising God in storms. They just kept on loving Jesus. They keeping on. You can't put them out. They can't lose their hope because they see such an overcoming Savior. Can we just worship together as His people and respond to that and say, God, here we are. We are your hope bearers. Lord, help us to be this. Help us to deal with those situations in our lives in such a way that others will overcome as they see and hear our stories. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.